Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. We got the heat turned down. It was a little warm in here this morning, and last week you guys were sleeping in the beginning of the service, so we tried to cool things up a little bit here. We have a couple of announcements. I know the diaconate is having a meeting after. Next week we will have the board meeting. Mary has an announcement, right?
Yeah, there's going to be pizza and bowling for men, boys, moms, kids after church. Picking up pizzas at 11:20, and we'll be in the Potter's House, and then bowling. I've got three rings reserved. Okay. Welcome.
Okay, they're all going to have little bumper things in them. Everyone will do well. That's good. Okay, next week, I know Christy has a sore throat, but she was going to mention something about the kids' chocolate party. Are you going to talk about the kids' chocolate party?
No.
Okay. So we're going to be having a kids' chocolate party coming up next week at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. And Karen has something she would like to share. Oh.
Sing happy birthday.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. That was supposed to be my announcement. Karen? No, we're going to do it. We're going to sing happy birthday right now. Ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
I did get a gift, but I won't share it. Gary Merrill's gifts aren't meant to be shared. Does anyone else have anything else they would like to bring before us this morning? Jay, you're back. It's nice to see you. Yeah. Well, yeah, we're not that happy, but we are. Well then, please. Gina's here.
Thank you, everybody, for prayers for Lauren.
All right. Great. And Mike is doing well. He's come to Bible study a couple of times. He's good. Dave, would you like to give us an update on Harriet? She was in the hospital this week.
Yeah, she's fine. She was dehydrated and overtired and gave us a real scare because she was sort of incoherent with that. So they fixed her up at St. Mary's and she's resting now.
Well, that's great news, too. Well, with joy from those news, let's stand for number 83.
Father, bless this, Father, peace is mine, me, Father, ever.
Please join me now in our call to worship found in your bulletin. God is at work in the world.
To bring justice to the oppressed, to share food with the hungry, to provide shelter for the homeless, to set all people free.
We come this morning
to be reminded of God's justice, to be nourished by God's presence, to find home with God's people, to worship in joy and freedom.
When we call, God will answer.
For God's light breaks forth, and God's healing is in our midst. Listen to God's voice say, here am I. Amen.
Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
This morning's Old Testament scripture is from the book of Isaiah, the 58th chapter, and verses 1 through 9a. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see. Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast days and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, and let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." And the gospel reading is from the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm taking my glasses off so everybody's blurry so I can't see faces. I get super emotional when I speak, so it starts already and it will probably continue. But my name's Carrie Johnson. Okay, I'm Ruth Johnson's daughter-in-law. And I was asked today to share my story. Thank you. All right, I gotta get it together. Okay, so thank you, Jess, for having me today. And to I've shared my story many times, just never at church. And how I usually start when I share my story is I say that my name's Carrie and I'm an alcoholic. So, all right, now that I got that out, hopefully I can hold it together. So I'm an alcoholic, and I realized I had a problem a long time ago, and it really took off after I had my kids. I think it was postpartum that I stuffed and just never talked about. So I admitted early on to the outside world that I had a problem because I thought that it would hold me accountable, and I thought if I told everybody else that I was an alcoholic, I wouldn't drink. And it worked for a little while, and it worked when I was out in public, but I continued to drink at home and at night when nobody was around. And so I, this gets happy, I promise. So when you share your story in AA, you tell about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, so I'll try to do that. I meant to start my timer because I have 10 minutes. So what it was like was nights drinking. My dog would look at me like, here she goes, you know, like he'd follow me downstairs with the shame and look of disgust in his eyes as I would drink at night. And then I would wake up and I'd go to work. I was very high-functioning alcoholic until I wasn't. I worked for an insurance company for 8 years, and they ended up having to let me go because my drinking got out of hand. And when I got let go, my boss called me and cried with me on the phone, and she said, you know, you just got to get your stuff together. And I spent time in three different rehabs, totaling 123 days away from my kids when they were little. I was found outside one day with a blood alcohol level of 0.48, which the hospital told me that a man that was 250 pounds shouldn't have survived. So there's obviously reason that I'm here. So fast forward to 2018, September 20th, was the day that everything changed for me, and I finally just gave up and handed it all to God. And it was a Wednesday night, was my last drink, and I was drinking at home. I don't know if my daughter was home. I don't know if Ruth was there. I don't remember much about it, but I woke up Thursday morning from a blackout, and my husband was getting the kids ready for school. And, he pulled the bottle of vodka out of my daughter's backpack. And I said, that's not mine. It was mine, but my safe goat was I would always have one bottle at home, and when I finished that one bottle, I wouldn't have to worry about it because that one's gone, and I would be fine. But I pulled the bottle that I knew of out of the garbage, and I said, where did this second bottle come from? So I went to the car, and there was money crumpled up on the seat. I had left the house in a complete blackout and drove. I don't know whose lives I put in danger that day. But anyway, I went to church that night. My church is Thrive Church in Terryville. And I walked into church. They had Thursday night service at the time. And the greeter said, are you okay? And if you ever ask a woman who's not okay if she's okay, that just opens the floodgates for everything to start. So I immediately spewed onto this woman who I've never met before in my life that I was an alcoholic. And then I, you know, relapse, and everything just came out, and she was like, oh my God, why did I ask this lady if she was okay? And so she said, I'm gonna pray for you after service. And I said, great. And I was like, over the years of being in and out of the program of AA, I would hear people have the obsession to drink, get lifted, and I never thought that would happen for me because I would drink and then beat myself up for a month or two, and then I would fall back into the same pattern. And it went on for 8 years like that. So I went to church, and she sat next to me, and everything that was said that day spoke to me, and she held my hand, and I was like, this is super awkward. I don't know this woman, and she's holding my hand. And she took me outside of church that night in the rain and prayed for me. And I have not had the urge to drink since that night. So. And I didn't know, obviously I didn't think at the time that it did anything until like 8 months ago. Is it that obvious that these are cheating? And I didn't know at the time that the obsession was lifted. And I always called Mary, her name's Mary Beth, and I always called her my guardian angel. And she says to me all the time, Carrie, it wasn't me. And she's right. So went on to my sobriety, and I started to learn about myself and be present with my kids and all that fun stuff, and to, you know, be there with them. I was always there physically, but mentally I was never there. I was always, you know, thinking about when I was going to drink again. And through those years of drinking, my ex-husband, now ex-husband, had to build up a wall. He never knew if he was coming home to somebody that was sober, who was not. She putting the kids in danger, who's not. So about a year and a half into my sobriety, he had stayed that same guy, and I wasn't happy anymore. And I said, I can't live like this. And I didn't think for anything that he was going to change. And I was going to church, and he wasn't. I was working a program, and he wasn't. So I said, I have to leave. So I got a divorce. And I moved to Terryville in May of 2020. To the happy part of things, we are now back together, which is insane. If you told me 2 years ago that if you told me 2 years ago that I would be back together with him, I would have told you you're crazy. And he started reading the Bible. He's been to church with me a couple times, but Sunday mornings are hard with baseball. He's not here today, but our son plays baseball, so he's there. But so we are now back together, and I'm planning on moving home at some point. And the crazy thing is the job that fired me 8 years ago rehired me in August of 2022. So now I'm working back at the same job that I was 8 years ago, who let me go when things were so bad. So, you know, my story had a really hard beginning and a long journey to get to where I am today, almost 4.5 years sober, which still boggles my mind. But God works in mysterious ways, and I continue to pray to him. When things started to start going well with Pete, I said, is it your will? You know, you never know if it's God's will or if it's your will. And so I just kept praying on it. And, you know, I got to see, after I left, I got to see it from his standpoint of, I didn't see that when I left, of what he had to go through to deal with living with an alcoholic for so long. And he was able to take a look at himself. And he said to me not too long ago that if I hadn't gone, he never would have looked at himself. And you know, now I look at him all the time and I'm like, who are you? Like, I just don't, we were together for 17 years and I just still, it's so weird to now be living back and learning so much about each other. And I guess that's it. I'm not gonna ramble, but that's my story and I'm sticking to it. No.
Stuff. Well, my story is a celebration of grandparents, a grandmother's faith, and a little touch of patriotism at the end. So a little backdrop. I was born in a very small town named Brooklyn, New York. a little bigger than Thomaston, with approximately 3 million people currently today. And although it is a huge place to live, my neighborhood felt like a little town. Our town consisted of small very ethnic neighborhoods where you knew everyone on the block. I still call streets in Connecticut blocks. And everyone knew everyone. Neighborhoods were characterized by block parties, grandparents sitting on the stoop watching everybody else's kids, the softy ice cream truck coming up and everyone begging their parents for a dollar to go get an ice cream, very loud ambulances and fire trucks going by about every half hour, and of course, my favorite, all the sweet aromas of ethnic foods on the block. The Indian Pakistani family across the street always made amazing curry chicken. The Italians on the corner, well, actually, they were Irish Italian because they were all cops and firemen. They always had their Sunday dinners with tomato sauce and meatballs. The Jamaicans three houses down with their jerk chicken and lots of parties. And us, the Puerto Ricans, with our plantains, rice and beans, and roast pork. In between all of us were tons and tons of Orthodox Jews who shut everything down on Friday nights for Shabbat and Saturday services. My nuclear family consisted of my mom and dad, Joe and Tanya, and my grandmother, Martha, my sister, Erica, 13 years younger than I. My parents were both high school graduates, and even though my grandmother only had a third grade education, she as well as my parents came to New York City in the early 1950s when approximately 500,000 people from Puerto Rico descended on New York City. They came in search of jobs, better educations, and of course the American dream. Although my parents came from Puerto Rico at a very young age, they tried to maintain their language, their culture, while embracing the newfound American one. As a child, I was raised mostly by my grandmother, and that's a much longer story, but my parents were always around. But she was truly the central figure of my life. I do remember how important the love of learning and education was in my family. Since as early as I can remember, my parents talked about college, the American dream, although no one had ever been to college in my family. We talked about it often. School supplies and schoolwork were super important. We had to have everything we needed. Now I understand how much of a sacrifice that was for them. There wasn't a whole lot of money to go around, and getting that one calculator that the math teacher asked for, getting that one flute that the band teacher asked for so that I could play flute in high school was certainly a sacrifice for them. And I know that now. My dad was a 911 NYPD dispatcher, and my mom was a secretary for a local Spanish television station. Both worked incredibly hard, and there was never a question of work ethic or tenacity in my family. One of my fondest memories about school was my dad making up his own homework for me in a composition notebook. I didn't exactly know why he did that. I wasn't sure if he thought our schools were substandard, I never got a chance to ask him, or if he was just trying to accelerate my learning. Either way, I had my teacher's homework and then another notebook that said Daddy's homework. So that's kind of how after school went. My grandmother, Abuelita, as we call her, is probably the sweetest, kindest person I've ever known. It amazes me that love, kindness, long-suffering, humility can cover a multitude of problems. It can also buffer us from a multitude of traumas. We didn't have a whole lot of money, but we lacked for nothing. And I was a latchkey kid, as they called us in the 1980s, where you had your own key and you entered your apartment and were alone until someone got home from work. What I remember most about my grandmother was her deep, devoted faith in God and in others. It was a sweet faith, characterized by love and compassion. She had an incredible gift of sharing nuggets of faith and wisdom, but without, like, shoving the Bible down your throat. She also had an amazing sense of humor, and laughter was a huge part of my upbringing. We laughed often and about everything. And now I understand that her laughter came from pure joy and pure gratitude. One of my favorite quotes is from Maya Angelou that says, "A joyful spirit is evidence of a grateful heart." And she was certainly grateful. We all look back on our lives and we have images of things we remember. I remember watching my grandmother pray on her knees when the door was slightly ajar. She never asked me to do it, she did it. I remember her reading her Bible a lot. She never asked me to do it, she did it. And I remember her singing hymns at home. I remember her just praising God on a daily basis, quietly. And I would think she was a little nutty, but now I understand. And most of all, I remember her relentless pursuit in getting us to church. My parents didn't attend church when I was growing up, but she always said, "Never stop going to church. Whether you're 10 or 100, always be part of God's family." And it certainly wasn't easy for us. Since we didn't have a car and she didn't drive, this is how Sunday mornings went for us. Rain, shine, sleet, or sun. We'd get up about 7:15 in the morning, walk 4 blocks to the public New York City bus, waited there until the bus came. After the bus came, it took us 45 minutes on that New York City bus to get to our church. Once we got to the church, Sunday school was at 9, service was at 10, lasted about 2 hours. At 12, we always went to the same corner diner because it was too long to come home and then go back for the second service. So we went to the diner on the corner with all of our friends from church, ate there for about 2 hours, got back to the church, did anything that needed to get done. Sometimes I would do my homework or read, and waited for 5 o'clock youth group. At 5 o'clock, it was youth group from the 5 to 6. At 6:30 was evening service. Evening service lasted an hour and a half. After an hour and a half of evening service, we took the New York City public bus back home 45 minutes to get home at 8:30 on Sunday nights. Every single Sunday. I begged often to stay home. Nope, we're going to church. Sunday was the Lord's day. Today, when I hear the old hymns I sang side by side with my dear grandmother, this is where I get emotional. I can barely sing them. A mighty fortress is our God. To God be the glory. And can it be? Wonderful grace of Jesus. Blessed assurance. Holy, holy, holy. And my personal favorite, great is thy faithfulness. I can barely sing them when we sing them. Great is thy faithfulness, the refrain, sounded like this when I was growing up. Sorry, I don't sing. Oh, tu fidelidad, oh, tu fidelidad, cada momento la veo en mí. Nada me falta, pues todo provees. Grande Señor es tu fidelidad. And so why do I share stories of grandmother's faith? Well, I don't know if grandmothers or grandfathers, sorry to keep you out, understand the impact that they can have on their grandchildren and extended families. I know God knew the impact of grandmothers because with the few words that he was going to have in the Bible, he chose to remember Timothy's grandmother and his mother. and so he saved several words for her grandmother. The power of unconditional love is the most sustaining and empowering and life-giving things you can give to your grandchildren. It will outlast any lecture, any punishment, any rule that you have in your house. For your grandchildren to see that a grandparent's love emulates the true love of God, that is truly the most powerful thing. Grandchildren will see how wide and how high the love of God is if you show it to them. I want to encourage the future and current grandmothers here today, whether you are someone who has adopted children through Sunday school, whether it's a neighbor, foster care children, or your own flesh and blood. The older you are, the more power you possess. Why? Because you have more wisdom. You have the opportunity to share with your grandchildren and be part of their lives. Talk to them, hug them, fill them with love and joy. Don't talk to them about your problems. Talk to them about theirs. Ask a lot of questions. Smile. Be generous, even if they're ungrateful. That'll change. Be an example of Christ. Your children will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God exists when you do that. And here's my touch of patriotism. My grandmother loved this country because she knew that this country affords opportunities that no other country does. She knew that here in the United States of America, if we work hard, we can do anything. She also knew that education was the poverty cycle breaker. Her life circumstances only allowed her to make it to third grade. But when she arrived in New York City in 1947, she spoke of learning how to read and write here in the United States. They had free classes at the local high school, and they taught her how to read and write in her own language. And then they taught her how to read and write in English. Free classes were offered to anyone who wanted them. And so people who came here being illiterate were able to learn. She knew that if she worked hard for her three children, they would make it here. And boy, was she right. So this was the progression. This is her legacy that she worked so hard for. After only obtaining a third grade education, one of her sons, my dad, graduated from high school. That was a big win. His two daughters, myself and my sister, were able to graduate college. And yet only three generations later, my son passed the bar exam last year. That's what this country is able to do. May God bless the United States of America. I am eternally grateful for this country, for grandparents of faith, and for the God who pulls it all together. I will forever be an advocate for education. I will always go to church until I can't anymore. And I will always remember that everyone has significant value, even a little old lady from Puerto Rico with a third grade education.
So if the storm you're walking is in this story. God is in the details, even in the broken parts. He holds well, he never fails. When I'm at my weakest, I will trust in Jesus. Always in the highs and lows, the one who goes before me. Always in the highs and lows, the one who goes before me. God is in this story. God is in my story.
Over here, he's picked up a flutist and a new singer.
And Jess. Jess. Yes, Jess.
Yeah. So, see?
We can learn Spanish.
See? See?
Participation in this meal is for all who confess their faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. All are welcome. We gather today in the presence of our Shepherd God, who calls us each by name, who restores our souls, who leads us in the way of righteousness, and whose goodness and love never stops pursuing us. This is the God we have come today to worship. It is now our sacred privilege to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. All who humbly put their trust in Christ and desire his help that they may lead a holy life, all who are truly sorry for their sins and would be delivered from them, all who would walk in love with their neighbors, intending to live a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, are invited to draw near with faith and to receive this holy sacrament. Come to this table, this sacred table, not because you must, but because you may. Come to testify not that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be one of his true disciples. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim on the grace of God, but because in your frailty and sin you stand in constant need of God's mercy and help. Come not to express your opinion, but to seek God's presence and to pray for the Spirit. Would you join me now in our confession found in your bulletin? Would you please stand? Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, and what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed. And grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He will cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. May Almighty God have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Please let us join together now in our affirmation of faith, also found in the bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
right hand of God, Father Almighty. From thence it shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Would you bow in prayer with me, please? O Lord of all, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. Gracious God, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit on these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Unite us in your Son in his death and resurrection, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly feast, where with all your saints we will be gathered in glory everlasting, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And Paul goes on to tell us that in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And Paul reminds us that whenever we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the death of Jesus Christ until he comes again.
I find my rest.
body of Christ shed for each one of us.
Teach my song to rise to you.
Loving God, this beautiful day of sharing, you have graciously fed us. We've received the holy mysteries with this bread of life and the cup of eternal salvation. May we who have received the sacrament be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises tell of your glory and truth. We who have seen the greatness of your love see you face to face in your kingdom. For you have made us your own people by the death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord, and by the life-giving power of your Spirit. Father God, we come before you today with joys and shares and memories, Father God. How precious they are. We lift up Lauren and Harriet. We pray for their continued healing, Lord. We lift them up to you. Lord, we each have names in our hearts that we're praying to you about. We have family members. We have issues in our lives. We have struggles and we have joys, Father. And this day on our knees, we lift them up to you, Father. We set them before your cross. We praise and thank you for all that you do. And we pray for your help, your guidance, and your protection. We lift up our church. We lift up our church family. We lift up everyone who comes and those who are away. Father, we praise you and thank you this day for all that you do in our lives. It's in your blessed name that we come today. In your name that we pray. Amen. Would you please join me now in our bulletin in reciting our reaffirmation of faith. I believe you can find it on page 2. Let our interactions with others be based on Colossians 3:11-17. Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
Offer to help and support anyone who is in Please be seated.
Thank you.
open our hearts this day. Let us open them up and give thanks to God who has blessed us so freely. Brings us all together. We are witnesses to the vows you have made with each of us, and we are committing ourselves to help you fulfill your vows. We pledge to you our prayers, our counsel, and our continued friendship. May God grant us strength to each of us as we strive to be faithful to each other and to Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. Greet those around you and please join us downstairs. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord pour his countenance upon you
and may day with his peace. Stand up.